Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Before we get started talking about the latest wrestling news, I wanted to make a little statement here at the beginning for the people who have been regular listeners to the show and the people who tune in here and there and the people who listen on demand and the people who are kind enough to write or send emails. I fully realize that this is a professional wrestling broadcast and that sometimes we get into areas of business and politics and things that affect the business. But I want everyone to remember, because I think it's crucially important that you do, that we don't start this. In other words, I don't get on this program and say, here is my ideologies when it comes to politics or moral issues or anything else. I do it as a rebuttal when people go nuts with it. If no one had ever called for the firing of Jackson Ryker, if no one had ever ostracized him, I wouldn't have brought up his political beliefs. I don't care what his political beliefs are. If no one had have made ridiculous accusations on people, I wouldn't bring them up. I bring them up in response to things that's already being said. So when we do delve into those areas, it's not of our own. We're doing it because it's important you hear the other side of the story. It's important that you just don't tune in and hear a bunch of talking heads saying, this is the way everyone in the world feels. This is the way everyone should feel. Incorrect. That's incorrect. And if we don't respond, then that's the feeling a lot of people get. Well, they said X, Y, and Z, and I don't see anybody challenging them on it, so I guess that's the universal opinion. I don't do that. If your opinion is different, that's fine. But I'm going to give you mine so you know there is an alternate opinion out there. That's why we do this, folks. Because we're going to have to get into it a little bit today. And even when we were doing semi-quasi-political stuff and defending Jackson Ryker and defending some people, we got some comments that weren't so good. But, man, when we defended Matt Riddle, I remember getting so many people mad saying, you have to believe all women and blah, you have to. How do you know? You don't know, and you're taking the guy's side because you're a guy. Not true. Not true. What turned out with Matt Riddle? We were correct. And by the way, I wanted to remind everyone, I'm not a big Matt Riddle fan. He's a great wrestler. I think he's an idiot outside the ring. I think he's a jerk. However, fair is fair. And I said, I really don't believe these allegations. I don't. I know he had an affair on his wife. You want to yell at him for having an affair on his wife? Hey, have at it. Have at it. Sexual contact, that's a whole different ballgame. And I didn't believe it then. I don't believe it now. And it seems like we've been vindicated on that because all those charges were dropped. Remember those charges? They said, we can prove it. Well, you didn't. When push came to shove and they said, bring your proof, what happened? So we're going to get into this because of Vince McMahon. Because now, of course, the charges have gotten more serious and they're saying there's 4 women, including the first one that we spoke about, 3 more women have come forward with allegations that they were paid money to not speak about an affair or sexual relations that they had with Vince McMahon or things that happened. And because of this, his biography, which was going to be like a three-part miniseries or something, has been canceled. And it looks very much like they're trying to cancel Vince McMahon. Now, I want to explain something to everyone. What I'm about to say has no bearing on sexual assault. If you are sexually assaulted, the person who did it belongs in prison. Period. If you say you were sexually assaulted, an investigation has to take place. I am not in favor of them saying, I don't believe her. No, you have to do the investigation. However, folks, I want you to understand very clearly that we live in a very strange world. And all these people who are piling on Vince McMahon right now would love to go to a concert of their favorite band who does the exact same thing every time. There are bands used to point girls out in the audience, and then their roadies would bring them backstage where they'd ply them with alcohol and drugs, do whatever they wanted to do with them, get them in a cab and send them home and see you later, honey. And you got their posters on your wall and you're buying their downloads and their CDs and you're buying their concert tees and you think they're just fabulous and oh, those wacky rock stars, right? Doing the exact same, doing worse. Way worse. What Vince McMahon is now being accused of is basically having an affair three times on his wife. And we don't know what his relationship was. Maybe they had an open relationship. Maybe they didn't have a sexual relationship anymore. Maybe they just said, look, for business reasons, we're husband and wife, but we're not really husband and wife. We don't know that. We're not privy to that. But I do know that having an affair on your wife is not illegal. There are two allegations in these charges that would be illegal. The first allegation that would be illegal is that Vince McMahon sent nude pictures unasked for to a woman, and she considered it harassment. I consider it harassment too. If you're on social media and you're a female, I bet you got a nude picture of a guy, some weirdo. Because I've been on social media and I've gotten pictures from women who I don't even know. And you know what you do with them? You erase them and you block that person. That's what you do. You erase them and you block that person and you say, okay, well, or you report it to eBay, you report it to Facebook or whoever, Twitter or wherever you got it. And that's it. I'm not sure you file a police report. I'm not sure it goes to that level. Now, I didn't hear he did it multiple times. I heard he did it once. He sent pictures. If that's true, then you would presumably have had those pictures, and you could have said, here is the pictures that I was sent by Vince McMahon, unasked for, unwarranted, I consider it harassment, vulgar, and the police probably would have not done too much, but they probably would have visited them and told them to stop. Or you could have got some kind of restraining order or whatever. Here's what you don't do. You don't wait 12, 14, 18 years and then say, yeah, well, I expressed my displeasure, but he laid a whole bunch of money on me. And as soon as he laid a whole bunch of money on me, I shut up about it. But now that everybody else is saying stuff, I don't feel I have to shut up about it. Okay. Well, I don't think you should be sending nude pictures to people who don't want them. But I do not think that's a sexual assault. I think that's harassment. But it's not sexual assault. The second thing he did would be considered sexual assault. According to the allegations, he forced a woman to have oral sex with him. And then when she did not want to continue the relationship later on, He did not renew her contract. Now, my sources, and probably going on the internet, you'll find a bunch of people who also say this, indicate very strongly that that person is Christy Hemme. This is another problem. When you're a very successful person, and you have the power to make someone else successful, oftentimes, if they're not successful, they blame you, and they're bitter at you. And if there's any revenge they can get on you, they'll take it on you because you didn't make them the next big thing. And I've said, after the allegations against Riddle, the one thing I do not like is when we hear forced oral sex. The reason I do not like that is because that isn't logical. Short of holding a gun to someone's head, I don't know how you force that. I just don't know how you do that. Because if you are going to put yourself in that position as a man, you are begging to be very, very badly hurt by the person you're doing it to. And if a person does not want to do that, it's not going to be very damn good anyway. This is what I said about Matt Riddle. So what did he do exactly? He grabs her and does what? If she keeps her mouth closed, I'm not sure what you can do to force it open. You could threaten. You could coerce. You could say, if not, you're fired. Those are all different terms. That's not forcing. That's blackmailing someone. And they can equally say, absolutely not. Fire me, and I'm heading to the police saying that you attempted to do this. I don't believe this allegation. Do I believe Christy Hemme may have had a relationship with Vince McMahon? Yes, I do. Do I believe it was forced? No, I do not. See, I know this is a wrestling show, but let's get into something else. You know, this Harvey Weinstein thing. Harvey Weinstein is a creep. And Harvey Weinstein is a little troll of a man who probably couldn't get women, let alone women that were as beautiful as actresses in Hollywood. So he used his power to say, I can make you a star, honey, but first you got to do X, Y, and Z. Is that wrong? You bet it's wrong. You bet it's wrong. However, I did not hear one person, well, maybe I did hear one person, and then they kind of backtracked, say, he literally attacked me and just flat out raped me. What I heard was, well, I was supposed to get a part in a movie, and then he sort of forced himself on me, and I froze, so I didn't leave. And then I came back three times to make sure that I'm getting the part still, and he did it three more times. And then when the movie came out, he didn't give me the part. Okay. Well, why did you go back three times? If Vince McMahon, if I was a woman, if I was a female, and Vince McMahon on me backstage or in an office building somewhere, I would never go back to the building again. Who would? Who would? So, you know what you would do? You'd go home and you'd tell your significant other, or you'd tell your parents, or you'd tell your best friend, Jesus, I just had a traumatic experience. And you know what they do? They call the police. But when you make these calculated decisions and say, I didn't want to sleep with the old bastard, but I do want to be a star. So I bit the bullet and did it. And then I didn't become a star. So now I feel as though I were raped. That's not rape. That's you sacrificing something to try to get something, and when you didn't get it, changing your mind. That is not rape. It's just not. You cannot literally say, well, I'll be absolutely willing to sleep with someone if they're going to put me in their movie and make me a big star. Absolutely I will. I'll go to his high rise 15 times, and 15 times I'll have sex with him. And then when the producers of the movie say, look, this girl can't act, and we're not up for it, I'm sorry, we're giving the part to somebody else, you cannot then say, all right, well, then I was raped. That, it doesn't work that way. That does not work that way. You could say we had an oral agreement and he violated the agreement because he said if I did X, Y, and Z, he would do X, Y, and Z, and he didn't live up to his end of the bargain. But if you're trying to compare yourself to someone who's drugged into an alley somewhere by a stranger with a knife to their throat and told if you move, I'll kill you, and physically raped, you're belittling the real rape victim. And it pisses me off, because this is why people really don't believe some women who really honestly were raped. Because gold diggers and people who would give up their body willingly to get to the top decide when they didn't get to the top that everything I did, I was forced to do. And that's not true. Now, I'm not saying Vince McMahon's a nice guy. Vince McMahon certainly used his position to coerce women who probably normally would not have sexual relations with him to have sexual relations with him. And that's wrong. You know what else is wrong? To willingly have sexual relations with someone to get ahead. That's also wrong. And then turn around and say, I was assaulted. That's also wrong. So both parties can be wrong. I am very suspicious when someone spends years and years and years and years and years not saying a word and then willingly accepts money, by the way. Oh, I'm living La Vida Loca because he's the old man kicked up $7 million for me. And all I have to do for that $7 million is not mention that time that I said, I really don't want to have sex with you. And he said, well, honey, if you want to get ahead, you better think about it. And you say, oh, all right, I guess I will. And as long as I don't bring that up, I got $7 million in my bank account. But I'm going to bring it up anyway because I feel I was wronged. I don't like that. And it's very prevalent, unfortunately, in Hollywood and in the entertainment business of all kinds. This is very prevalent. And all it does is undermine honest-to-God sexual abuse victims, and I'm tired of it, and it pisses me off. You can say whatever you want about Vince McMahon. I do not believe, and until someone proves it to me, I will not believe that Vince McMahon called somebody into their office, held them there against their will, and said, you're going to do what I want, and just overpowered them and had his way. I don't believe that. I don't. I believe he coerced them. I believe he said, look, if you want a big position in this company, if you want more airtime, if you want X, Y, and Z, you know what you got to do. There was a Hollywood casting couch forever. Everyone knew about it, right? The actresses would joke about it. Oh, casting couch again. Nobody did anything about it. Nobody called it rape. Because at the end of the day, you still have a choice. And that choice is to say, I want to be a professional wrestler or I want to be a success in the WWE so badly that it's my life's ambition. But if you're going to tell me that I have to sacrifice every single one of my morals to do it, you can take your federation and shove it in your ass. Right? Isn't that correct? Think of it yourself. I want everyone listening to this show, no matter what you want to be, famous baseball player, famous actor, famous musician, professional wrestler, whatever you want to be, if someone that could put you in a position where you could be that said the only way that's going to happen is if you have a sexual relationship with me. Wouldn't you just say, yeah, no thanks? Unless you honestly were attracted to that person. Unless you were a gold digger and said, well, whatever. Whatever I got to do. I don't care. That's how ambitious I am. If I got to do it, I got to do it. But then if you're that person who says, if I got to do it, I got to do it, then you weren't right. You made a conscious choice, correct? I know this is very unpopular. Because what everyone wants to do is say, the man is wrong. He never should have intimidated the woman or tried to coerce her. You're right. He shouldn't have. But you also can't say women are as strong and empowered as men and then say, well, they just shrunk into a little ball of screaming, crying poo and said, I guess I have to. No, they don't. Why don't these strong, empowered women say, you, my friend, can kiss my ass. If you think for 1 minute that I'm climbing into bed with you just to get ahead in this business, you must have a screw loose, you old bastard. Take me off your roster. You're lucky I don't go to the police. Or maybe I will, and I don't want your hush money either. Take your money and shove it where the sun don't shine. Isn't that what a strong person does? Isn't that what a moral person does? What Vince McMahon has done is happening almost every single night when bands are on tour. And they're not even giving the girls anything other than just, they're not even offering them fame. They're just saying, I'm a famous guy. You want to say you slept with me? Here, honey, do some drugs, do some alcohol. I would never do it because I swore a bit of secrecy of it. But I knew a woman, God rest her soul, who was very involved with wrestlers. You might want to call her a groupie. I didn't call her a groupie because, to be honest, she really wasn't. She just knew a lot of them. And she had relations with a lot of them, especially in ECW. She was a very honest woman. And the horror story she told me about parties in ECW and women backstage would make this look like an episode of The Walton. This is just not new behavior, folks. And it's not strictly in the wrestling business. So when I see Vince McMahon targeted like this, the first thing that comes to my mind is, why do they want him gone so badly? Something's wrong. Something is wrong. Because this is a concentrated effort to take down Vince McMahon. No doubt in my mind. So while I'll have sympathy for, and I will retract every one of these statements, if a woman comes forward and says, no, that's not what happened. Vince McMahon literally forced me down on the couch against my will, forced me to have some sort of a sexual contact with him, and then came to me later on and said, if you say anything, you're ruined in this business, and I was scared, and he gave me money, and I said, whatever, then Vince McMahon needs to go to jail. But I don't want to hear a calculated decision that this would be the best thing for my career. And when it turned out it wasn't the best thing for my career, now I'm going to cry sexual abuse. You don't get that right. You don't get two bites of the apple. If you want to make the calculated decision that you were going to give up your body to someone you would not do that with, for a chance at the big time, and the big time doesn't happen, you then don't get the opportunity to say, well, since I didn't become a big star, then that obviously was sexual abuse. No, you made that choice. So we're going to see where this goes with Vince McMahon, but there's more to this story than meets the eye, because I'm telling you, as sure as I sit here, stories all the way back, how come these people aren't being investigated? How come these people aren't being drudged out? Because they're not Vince McMahon. Oh, you're just a lowly wrestler who did all these things? Anybody ever watch Beyond the Mat? Remember what Jake Roberts was saying? Yeah, we'd have a girl come backstage and everybody would have at her. And then once in a while, you'd get bored with that and you'd be like, well, I don't want to just have a normal sexual relationship with this groupie. I want to make them do weird things. And then we were going to get two or three of them in there and have them do things. And then it just became a game of what can we make them do? Remember when Jake Roberts said that in Beyond the Mat? Why is Jake Roberts not in prison? Why is Jake Roberts now not facing all kinds of allegations of sexual harassment? Because he's not a billionaire. That's why. He's not a CEO of a company. I want to hear more about these allegations, but I want to make sure that everyone keeps an open mind. It's very easy to instantly just side with the woman and say, oh, my God, that poor woman. But there's usually two sides to a story, folks. And I'm suspicious of anyone who takes money to shut up. Because maybe it's just me, but I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it. You could not give me enough money to shut up if someone sexually assaulted me. I'm sorry. But, I mean, again, it's the difference between, well, is it some ridiculous person you would never, ever dream in a million years of having a sexual relationship with? The difference is this. If that's the case, and it's a person you would never, ever, ever sleep with in a million years unless it was forced upon you or you were blackmailed into doing it, it's different than saying, well, I had a relationship with a very, very hot WWE diva, and she really liked me, and she said, I can get you in the business. And, man, for like 3 months, we were hot and heavy. We were all over the place doing it. She had a fiance, though, so he didn't know about it. And then when she kind of dumped me, she said, listen, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of money not to say nothing. Because I like my fiance just fine, and I like my reputation just fine, and I don't really need it ruined by you, even though we had some fun. That's different. So I want to know which one it was. I want to know whether these women were looking to be the next Vince McMahon's wife or beneficiary of all of his money, or if they were really set upon in a manner that's inappropriate, because we need to know that. So, Todd, I think we just all need to relax and not prejudge things, and hopefully the truth comes out.
Well, you're absolutely right, Gail. Like you said, we can't even prove if he did it or not. It's up to the courts or anything to prove he did it. But like you said, like we said, we talked about the other day, we can't prove, like we said the other day, about the Benoit situation, when he died or anything.
Yeah, now, once again, no matter how many times I reiterate that I am not trying to defend Vince McMahon, and I'm certainly not trying to defend sexual assault, I'm going to get emails and I'm going to get people saying, if you cannot separate logically what I just said from taking someone's side, then that's your problem. It's not my problem, because I think I articulated it very well. If you're a male listening to this show or a female listening to this show, I want you to take one of the two scenarios. Let's say you're a male and you just hit $100 million in lotto, and all of a sudden girls who would never look at you sideways before want to date you. And then when they say, can I have $1 million? And you say, well, hell no, you can't have $1 million. Okay, well, then I'm going to the police and say I was sexually assaulted by you because I did things with you I really didn't want to do. And I thought I was going to be the beneficiary of some of your money, honey. Is that right? And if you're a female and you say, yeah, I normally wouldn't date this guy, but geez, look at the money he's got and the cars he's got. And I want to be famous, so... you know, he might be able to get me in something like that, and I guess I'll just go ahead and sleep with the guy and make sure he falls in love with me, and maybe, just maybe, I can coerce him out of his money. Well, what does that make you? I'm going to ask you a question. What does that make you? Is that a victim to you? You know what a victim to me is? A victim to me is someone who says, I took a ride from this guy at a party just to go home because I couldn't drive. I got a little tipsy. And he parked the car and said, you ain't going anywhere. I'll let you out in the middle of the road unless you do this. And I don't even know where I was. I was half out of my mind, and he basically just forced himself on me. Then you were sexually assaulted. And that guy needs to go to jail. But that's not the same thing. Those two scenarios are not the same thing, folks. So we got to find out which one Vince McMahon did. But I'm going to tell you this as well. When you have the power and the money of Vince McMahon, it's very rare you have to force anybody to do anything. Vince McMahon could have went just about anywhere and found any number of women who would have said, that's Vince McMahon. I got no problem, dude. I don't care if he's way older than me. I don't care if I don't find him attractive. I'll still do him. She found any number of women who could do that. Any number of them. Remember Hugh Hefner? Like 80 years old, surrounded by Playboy models constantly, who are just, oh, we love him. He's the greatest guy ever. Six of us sleep in the bed with him. Yeah, he didn't need to be forced. Why? If that guy was working at a McDonald's somewhere, he couldn't have got laid with a handful of pardons in a woman's prison. But, oh, he's Hugh Hefner. Look at his big mansion. Look how much money he has. Pile on the bed, girl. So don't tell me it doesn't happen when you have big money like that. Hugh Hefner had whatever beautiful women he wanted. And the few that might have said, no, I'm sorry, I'm not into it. Okay, well, then that's their choice. But he didn't have to rape them because he said, okay, well, you're not the type of girl that's going to do that. I'll find a whole bunch of girls that are the type that'll do that. Because there's no shortage of them. There's no shortage of guys either, by the way. You think for 1 minute that some dude who's like buffed out of his mind and he's a male model type runs into some 50-some-odd, 60-year-old woman who has the hots for him and she could maybe get him into the movies or get him into a recording career or get him famous somehow if he would have a relationship with her. There's plenty of guys who'd say, why not? Hey, if it's the easiest way to open a door, eh. But then they weren't sexually abused. They traded something for a chance at something else. That's not the same thing. Sorry. If that makes me a horrible person, if you think that makes me misogynistic or pro-something or what, anti-whatever, you can think whatever you want. Logic is still logic. And what I said is logical. Anyway, let me get on to something else because here's something very concerning. Recently, a day or two ago, a picture was circulating around the internet of Rhea Ripley, and she had a heart monitor on. Now, the last time we heard from Rhea Ripley, she said she had a brain injury, which I translate into a concussion, and something to do with her jaw. Neither one of those require a heart monitor. So I'm quite concerned. She has the right to privacy, but at the same time as she has the right to privacy, I think as fans we have a right to know if there's something horrible going on, just like we would if you were a baseball player or a football player and you're not with the team, they say this is the problem. This is why this person's not playing. They're not playing because they have a broken whatever. They're not playing because they pulled a muscle. They're not playing because they have COVID. They're not playing because they had a heart attack. Whatever it happens to be, they tell you. I understand there is a right to privacy, but at the same time, you're a public figure and you're in a field where people want to know why you're not appearing. I don't like how that looks because a heart monitor outside of a hospital, sometimes in a hospital they might put you on it because they're giving you a drug or something. They want to make sure it's not screwing with your heart. When you're walking around with one, I don't like that. That doesn't look good. And to be honest, for all the people who say, oh, you don't have any right to know, you know, maybe we don't have a right to know, but you know what? Is it horrible to be concerned? Is it horrible for fans to say, oh my gosh, I'm worried. I hope everything's okay. Now that I saw that picture, which she put out, so the people were saying right to privacy, then don't put the picture out. Once you put the picture out, did you honestly think that people weren't going to say, wait a minute, you're wearing a heart monitor. Could you explain that? No, I don't have to explain it. I have a right to privacy. Well, you put the picture out, though. I don't know what's going on with Rhea Ripley. That's a terrible situation. And I suspect something more than we're being told. So I'm not 100% sure when we'll see Rhea Ripley again or if we'll see Rhea Ripley. And I guess we're not owed an explanation, but it would be nice if fans of hers knew if she was in a bad situation, if fans of hers knew, oh, no, this is just something precautionary and not to worry. Wouldn't it be nice? I don't know. Todd, I'm sure you saw the picture. So, yes. Just concerning, for sure.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, the Rhea Ripley picture and everything, and why she put up the picture, we don't know. If she didn't want to, she should have not put the picture up, and we don't want to know if she don't want to put a picture up, technically.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're going to put the picture up, then if you didn't ever put the picture up, and somebody just leaked the information and said, guess what? I saw Rhea Ripley, and she's wearing a heart monitor. Then I'd say, well, you know, she does have a right to privacy. She didn't publicize that. And maybe she doesn't want it publicized. But you put the picture up. Once you put the picture up, did you not think the fans were going to ask that question? Now, to be fair, I didn't hear Rhea Ripley say, I don't want to talk about it. She didn't say that. Maybe she will talk about it. But so far, I haven't heard any. And it just reminds me that, you know, again, you do have a right to privacy, but if you're going to put yourself out there, then you have to expect this result. I was once at a fan fest for the WWE, and there were three different sessions in this fan fest. And if you wanted to attend the whole fan fest, you had to buy three separate tickets. And each session had different people who were signing autographs and pictures being taken and things. And I had bought tickets for all three sessions. And I watched people go into the first session where someone like Bret Hart was going to be in the second session. And Bret Hart, rather than staying backstage, decided, no, I'm going to come right out into the floor where all the fans are. I'm going to come walking right on out and hang out. And then when people said, can I get a picture? No, of course not. You've got to wait for the second set. Then why are you out there? What did you think was going to happen when you walked through that curtain? The fans weren't going to say, oh, there's Bret Hart? And I voiced my opinion to the people running it and said, then you should keep these people backstage. Because when 9-year-old kids run up to Bret Hart, because he's the most popular guy there right now, because he's decided to come out on the floor, and he acts like, how dare you come up to me when this is a fan fest? I think that's mean. And I also think it's stupid. So this is the same thing with Rhea Ripley. You posted the picture, Rhea. Now, if you could explain, it would be great. Because there are people who are actually worried. See, I don't know if wrestlers actually know that. I mean, I don't know Rhea Ripley. I wish her all the best. And I cross my fingers that it's not a serious situation. But there are fans who literally are like, oh, my God, I'm so worried. And they're biting their fingernails. They don't even know they're biting their fingernails. And you're the one who caused that. So, yeah, give them a little information. Tell them, yeah, well, you know, it's this or no, nothing to be concerned about. I just think that's logical. I don't know. We live in a weird age, so I don't know whether people think that's logical or not, but I sure as hell do. Sure as hell do. Anyway, let's get on to this AEW injury thing, because now I'm hearing that Daniel Bryan may not be back for a long period of time. And CM Punk, of course, with a broken foot, he's out for a while, and X, Y, and Z is out for a while. And I just want people to remember what I said when guys like Bryan Danielson and CM Punk went to AEW. I said it's too late in their career for people of that age who haven't wrestled in a long time or wrestled very lightly like Daniel Bryan to suddenly be thrust right back into a very, very physical style of professional wrestling. They're not 30 anymore. It's not the same thing anymore. It would be like bringing a quarterback in his 50s back and say you're playing in the Super Bowl. And then you're surprised if he gets hurt, or you're playing the whole season, and you're surprised he gets hurt. You're surprised he's out with an injury. You're surprised he's not giving 100% because he's gotten nagging injuries. That's why they don't do it. Daniel Bryan made a calculated decision. His decision was, I want to wrestle. I don't want to do the WWE-style wrestling, which is more of an entertainment-style wrestling with a little bit of wrestling thrown in. I want to be a professional wrestler. I want to do these 20-minute matches and do all my moves and everything. Well, yeah, you're in your 40s, Daniel. And you took millions and millions of dollars to do the other stuff when you were in your mid-30s. You got it ass backwards. The way it really should work is you should get all the wrestling out of your system that you want. Go to Japan, go to whatever, do all that stuff, which he did. Do all of that stuff. And then when you get to be about 33 or 34, work your way on over to the WWE where it's a way lighter load. And you could probably work into your late 40s, early 50s. Our truth is, that's why AJ Styles didn't go. AJ Styles understands, could I go to AEW and for 6 months light it up? Hell yeah. Of course he could. He's in ridiculous shape for a guy his age. But he knows that the risk of injury is way, 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 way higher. He knows that second match in could be, well, that's it. And he's made that calculated decision. I'd rather stretch my career out a few years and just do light stuff. Hang out here and make a ton of money, and I don't really have anything to prove. Daniel Bryan had nothing left to prove, folks. CM Punk had nothing left to prove. CM Punk a little more than Daniel Bryan, because CM Punk thought it would be a great idea to go tell the world he could kick every UFC fighter's ass when he knew four moves and was humiliated. So then he said, okay, well, now that I've been totally humiliated and demasculated as a fighter, I got to go back and reclaim my reputation. So maybe he had a little more to prove. But, man, then go back to the WWE where you could prove it easily. Don't go back into these situations where you're going to be wrestling guys in their late 20s, early 30s who want to do 25-minute matches and push the boundary, because this is how you get hurt. And the proof is in the pudding, because now they're hurt. And the thing is, can you get hurt when you're young? Yes, but the recovery time is less. You're 25 years old, you get the same injury as 48-year-old, it's a different ballgame. It's a different ballgame. Because the clock is not ticking on you at 20-some-odd years old. The clock is ticking on a guy like Daniel Bryan. The clock is ticking on a CM Punk. The clock is ticking on with Chris Jericho. So that's what they have to remember. And that's what Tony Khan has to remember, too. Tony Khan can say, I'm going to give $100 bazillion to some guy that's 48, and he'll just come in and he'll wrestle like he's 30. No. No, he won't. He's going to do exactly what he did. He's going to get hurt. unless you put him in the ring with other guys of that age and say you need to take it light. You don't need to do these high spot moves. You don't need to do these high risk moves. But that's the reason they went. Well, I don't know about CM Punk, but that's the reason Daniel Bryan went. There's no logic behind that. It's all ego. It's just like, okay, well, it won't happen to me. I know that once you're 45, 46 years old, your body starts to break down from years of professional wrestling and the injury rate goes up. But not me. Even though, look what you've been through. You were told you were never going to wrestle again, right? Isn't that the time to say, my God, I'm lucky to be in a federation where I can wrestle and really not risk too bad of an injury? You don't then say, oh, no, that's not good enough. I want to go to a federation where I can prove that everybody was wrong and I can do this forever because I'm Superman. Because at the end of the day, you're just ripping the guy off you took the money from. You know you're not going to be able to do it. You know you're probably going to get hurt or wore down. And then what? So I'm sorry to hear this about Daniel Bryan. And I understand, you know, CM Punk, I don't know what the extent of his broken foot is. I do know it takes a while to heal if it's those small bones on the top of your foot. And I know that's uncomfortable. I also know that Tommy Dreamer wrestled with a broken leg because I saw him do it. It was in a cast. I'm not suggesting anybody do that. I'm just saying there's two schools of thought here. Dreamer was a lot younger at the time. I promise you Tommy Dreamer is not wrestling with a broken leg now or a broken foot. I promise you. Risk you take. If you're Tony Khan and you decide I want to sign a 50 or 45 year old guy to a federation where I expect them to do extremely physical matches. Vince McMahon does not expect you to do extremely physical matches. Once in a while there's an extremely physical match. You don't have to be involved in it. You don't have to be involved in it. You don't believe me, I'm sure you watch SmackDown. There's a couple matches there that I'm like, it's almost non-physical. It's almost non-physical. You could have walked almost anybody through a couple of those matches. And then once in a while, they'll have a more physical match. But this is what people mean when they say, don't just do your high spots to do them. Make them mean something because you don't have an unlimited amount in your body before you're done. If you're going to fall off the top rope through two tables or you're going to do a high spot flip through a table or you're going to do some kind of a real high-risk move that you land on the floor or whatever, it has to be because this is really important to this match. This is the culmination of the feud. This is the big payoff. This is whatever. And then you make that calculated decision and say, okay, this is risky. And this is probably going to take a few weeks or months off my career, but this is the big moment, so it has to be done. When you do that for no reason, just, oh, look what I can do, then unfortunately, you're shortening your career. And I fear that's what a lot of wrestlers are being taught in this business now when they're going to wrestling schools is here's your high spots, and you can do that 1 minute into a match with a guy that nobody knows. That's ridiculous. And this is why you're seeing these rash of injuries. Pick your spots. 5 years old, your spot probably shouldn't be in a federation that is geared toward long and highly physical matches. And that goes for Sting, too. Now, Sting has been smarter. He's picked his spot. He only does certain things at certain times. But if I got news for you. If they said, well, Sting is going to wrestle on a regular basis here, and we expect him to do 22-minute matches with Sammy Guevara, Sting's not lasting 2 weeks. Sting's going to get injured. what happened in WWE, and he didn't even have to wrestle a hard style. And did he get injured? He sure as hell did. Because his body can't do that on a regular basis. Once in a blue moon, he can do a spot here or there, pick it, calculate it. Sting's been smart about what he's doing. You might say Ric Flair's stupid for doing what he's doing, but I guarantee Ric Flair picked his spot here. But these guys, like a Daniel Bryan, who think, time stands still for me, or CM Punk, I don't have to worry about it. I can get in there with 20-year-olds and run them under the table. No, you can't. Because even if your heart is willing, your body isn't anymore. Maybe you could have if you started your career at 40 because your body was fresh. But your body's been broken down through all the years of professional wrestling. That's the difference. It's not, and people say, oh, it's not an age thing. Well, no, it's not an age thing if your body hasn't broken down. Probably some guy who's never played other than just with his friends football, who could throw a football pretty friggin' well and play in the NFL for a season because his body's not broke down yet. So his 45 is their 35, you know? If you've not been a professional wrestler and you start at 40, your body's not broke down because you haven't been on the road for 15, 18 years. But once you have, you got to understand your limitations, and you got to understand if you're going to take a big fat paycheck and say, I'm going to show up and do all this, you know you're going to end up getting money for nothing because you know you're going to be injured more than not. Look at baseball. It happens all the time. How old is Jacob DeGrom? Not very. And already Mets fans are saying, well, I don't know, he's injured too much. He's too fragile. He's a great baseball player, and he's a great pitcher, maybe the best pitcher the Mets could possibly have, but if he's so fragile he can't get through a half a season, what good is he? Well, then let's apply that to professional wrestling. Daniel Bryan's a great wrestler. Maybe one of the best wrestlers AEW's gotten, but if he can't get through 3 months without major injuries, what good is he? Might sound harsh, Mike, but, I mean, the truth is the truth.
Right. And then you've got, you know, go back a few years, and you've got these guys back to the steroid era of baseball, and you've got these guys like, I don't know, Roger Clemens and all this stuff that were on steroids but were playing great baseball in their mid-40s, right?
Yep.
Right? You know?
Yep.
But they were on steroids. They had help, you know? They didn't get injured, but they had help. But, yeah, you're right. These guys got to understand. I mean, yeah, Sting, what does Sting do? Sting, he still does his splash, but he doesn't do it from his, you know, he does very little when he gets into the ring. He lets Darby Allin do all the high spots. Because Darby Allin is what, in his 20s? In his maybe early 30s, maybe? That's what Sting does.
Right.
There's a reason why most of his matches right now, Sting's matches, are tag team matches, because he allows Darby Allin to do what he has to do. There's a reason why we're not going to see The Miz in AEW. There's a reason why we're not going to see some of these older women wrestling. Well, maybe there's a chance you might see somebody Asuka in AEW, because, you know, Asuka is an older woman's wrestler, but she, when we've seen her do some of these matches that, you know, we've praised her for doing some of these other matches that, well, you know, it is what it is with this. But yeah, there are people that aren't going to go to AEW or back to Japan in the case of Asuka and what's his name there, Shinsuke, you know, that they know they can't, they're happy with what they're doing, and they know the money's great. I mean, we've talked about Shinsuke Nakamura. Why don't you go to AEW? I don't want to. The money's great, you know, and I'm doing what I want to do, right?
Yeah, because it's a calculated decision. They could say, hey, Shinsuke, we'll give you 50% more than WWE. Okay, but then you give me 50% more than WWE, and I got to do 100% more work. You know what I mean? If you take a carpentry job and they say, okay, well, one of the guys is going to start building the roof, and the other guy's going to hand them nails, who's doing the majority of the work? And if you're making the same money, you'd be the idiot to say, I want to be the guy that's building the roof. You might as well be the guy that's handing the nail. Because you're doing a hell of a lot less and you're making much different, right? So anyway, this is where we've come to. And a lot of this, unfortunately, is the evolution of the business. How long did Luthez wrestle for? Luthez was in his 60s in wrestling. Vern Gagne, I think, wrestled into his 60s. Gypsy Joe wrestled into his 70s. Dory Funk Jr. wrestled into his late 60s. Terry Funk wrestled into his late 60s. Ric Flair wrestled into his 60s. He's still wrestling. He's still going to have a wrestling match. Wrestling was different back then. Fans were satisfied with, it's technically a wrestling match. So what you're going to see is you're going to see headlocks, headlock takedowns, arm bars, leg holds, back to the corner, chops, forearm smashes. And, yeah, once in a while you're going to see, oh, look, he cheated. He hit him with a chair. Oh, look at that. He raked his eyes, body slammed him, suplexed him, punched him. That's about it. That's about it. Now you're seeing guys, well, I'm going to do suicide planchas every night, and I'm going to do all these corkscrew moves through tables, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do, okay, well, go ahead and do it. And you're not going to be wrestling in your 60s or your 50s. Maybe not even your 40s. Just go back and take a look. All I'm asking young, really young fans to do, if you're under 20 or even 25, go hit your YouTube and go back to, like, wrestling and see how wrestling used to be much slower paced, much more like a real wrestling match. And the cheating and the high spots was occasional. It was just occasional. You didn't have all of this. And I know fans are going to say, well, that's why it's more like a sport now. Because now you really do have to have athletic prowess to wrestle. Yes, you're right. There were guys back then who were not athletes. There were beer-swilling dudes who probably never did a push-up in their life. But it was fun to watch them wrestle. Now these are guys who are highly trained athletes, and they keep pushing the limitations and say, let me see if I can do this. Let me see if I can do that. And all of these moves are taxing on their body, really, really, really taxing. But I don't want to hear no fans get in my face and say, oh, I don't like any of these hardcore things because that's just bad for wrestlers. That just hurts their career. Well, so does all these other moves that you love. If you really felt that way, you'd want wrestling to go back to the old school times when really it was slower paced and much easier. Flair, at his age right now, could go back in time and do the same exact match he did with, I don't know, Harley Race. Back then, he could probably do the same match. He could probably do that match because it's going to be slow-paced. There's plenty of rest hold. It's more like a wrestling match with a few little high spots here or there and a few little cheating episodes or whatever. But it's not this fast-paced, bounce off the ropes, jump over things, boom, 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 boom. It's just not that. That's not what wrestling was back then. And because it wasn't that, it looked more like a real fight. It looked more like a wrestling match. Now it looks like sort of a dance. And it's a higher rate of athleticism, but it still looks like a dance. It doesn't look like a fight, and that's a problem for me. It's always been a problem. And I say, and I will always say, I would rather see two guys get in that ring and mostly just do some wrestling moves and maybe throw some fists than I would all of these acrobatic, high-risk things because they don't, not what you do. How many guys are in a fight and say, I guess I'll climb up on the ledge of a building and see if I can do a plancha off this building on this guy? And who does that? Nobody. Of course you don't. You're in a match. You're in a fight. I thought it was supposed to be a fight. Anyway, let's get on to a little bit of SmackDown because, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Just when you think, right, that it can't get a whole lot worse, this was not a good SmackDown again, and Roman Reigns was on it. Folks, I hate to be the guy to break it to you, but I think the Roman Reigns thing is done. And a little bit of it is Roman's fault, but mostly it's not. Mostly it's the WWE's fault. The little bit that's Roman's fault is the minute he got to a position where he is definitely the number one guy, he says, cut my schedule back to nothing. I want to be treated like a rock star. Okay. Well, this is the time when you should be excelling. Right now. Not 10 years from now when you say, maybe I'll go to AEW and see if I can relive my glory years. Oops, I got hurt. No, now's the time to do it. But you want to take the light schedule, fine. Then it's the WWE's responsibility to say, how do we keep him fresh? You have not kept Roman Reigns fresh. You did not get enough contenders for him. You did not build up people who would be in major feuds with him. You did not further the angles between him and the Usos or add to the bloodline or create friction or some other things within the bloodline. And now you're just reliving past storyline. You literally got Paul Heyman on television saying, you don't understand. This is Brock Lesnar. And I'm very worried. Well, what are you worried for? Roman Reigns kicked his ass twice. And this is going to be different. You're worried because why now? Because the WWE told me to be worried. We want to make it appear that Roman never beat Brock Lesnar. Yeah, except he did twice. So why is the motivation for Paul Heyman to be so concerned when he's beaten him twice? I'd have much rather seen the other approach. I'd have much rather seen Paul Heyman say, I am supremely confident that Roman Reigns will win this match. He beat him twice. And yeah, Brock Lesnar can be very vicious when he's backed in the corner and thinks it's his last shot. But guess what? Brock Lesnar's well past his prime now, and Roman Reigns is just coming into his. And this is the kiss of death for Brock Lesnar. Past SummerSlam, Brock Lesnar is going to be an ex-WWE superstar. He knows it. You know it. The world knows it. And the guy that's going to put him to bed is standing right here next to me. That would have been better. Because now you're saying, yes, I know you've beaten him twice, but you can't beat him three times. Well, what? Nobody's into this feud. Because we've seen it, and then we've seen it again. And it's your fault. And then you've taken the Usos, and you've made the Usos, well, you know, we don't need Roman, so we're not even really interacting with him much. We'll come out with him once in a while when Paul's there. He doesn't come out with us. There's no more backstage bantering between us. There's no little different things in our relationships. There's no tension between us. There's no nothing. There's no nothing anymore. It's just, here's Roman Reigns. This is the bloodline. This is it. Business as usual. There is no furthering of any storylines. There's no furthering of any whatevers. They are what they are. They're all on the same page, and everybody's fine, and there's no need to film any bits of them talking or anything else. Just let it be. Okay, well, now it's stale. Now it's stale, and you wonder why it's stale. Unbelievable. He had lightning in a bottle with this Roman Reigns thing. Okay, he wants a light schedule. Film a whole bunch of stuff then. Tell him when you're here, you're going to work your ass off. When you're here, you're going to film backstage segments. We're going to film hours of backstage segments. So we can show him every week and pretend you were backstage, you just weren't up front. But Roman Reigns is going to be on television virtually every week. Can't do that. So they've grown stale. And now we've gotten to the point where the Usos can barely beat Los Lotharios. Unbelievable. So, yeah, I think this, it's gotten stale, Mike, and a little tiny bit of it is Roman Reigns' fault for pulling the I don't want to wrestle much when you get this popular. But, hey, the WWE worked around it with Brock Lesnar before. They worked around it with The Undertaker before. They worked around it with Randy Orton plenty of times. This time they dropped the ball.
In fact, I think they're working around it with Randy Orton again right now because if you – think about it. If you look at the reaction to Riddle, he's still getting basically the residual face reaction from Randy Orton. So even though Randy Orton isn't here right now, Riddle's still popular. You know. Now can they mess that up? Yeah, they can mess it up. But yeah, you're right. And it doesn't help out the whole. And it doesn't help out the bloodline, the whole thing with Naomi not being there or possibly not even being in the company anymore because everybody was expecting – they may not have wanted to do that, but everybody – when she was here, everybody was expecting her to be a part of that. So it doesn't – not only does it hurt him when he doesn't want to be there, it hurts him when somebody that is – that's supposed to be there isn't there because people were expecting her to be in the group, right?
Yeah. But there's more to it even than that, Mike, because why can't we have some kind – it's almost like you started a soap opera and then you forgot that the main characters have to be involved in storylines for that show to be successful. When Jey Uso was doing his bit with not knowing whether he should be – on Roman's side or not, and then Jimmy came in and was trying to convince him not to be, and then he sort of got – this was fascinating and fun to watch. And now you've just stopped everything. They don't have to be at each other's throats. They can be on the same page, but you got to give them things to do. You know, you got to somehow work something in where there's tension or there's a problem that they have to overcome together or there's something. You've got to take your main characters and put them in situations where fans are interested in seeing what happened. We're not interested in seeing what happened with the Usos anymore, nor Roman Reigns, because you've done nothing. You've taken your main characters and given them nothing. Nothing. Couldn't you give us a little something? I mean, I could think of 10 things. You just... have, you know, Jey Uso's always been the sympathetic one. Have Jey continue his friendship with a face on SmackDown. So Jimmy can say, why are you talking to him? He ain't your friend. And he can say, what do you mean he's not my friend? He's been my friend my whole life long. Look how many my friends are. Who do you think? You're not the head of the table. I guess you think you are now that Roman's gone, right? I mean, that's something you could work with. You could work with the Uso's literally having a run like they've never had before and then having them say, well, I don't know, man, Roman's not here and we're still really doing a number on these teams, man. I don't know if it's Roman that helped us. There's so many things you could do. Or Paul Heyman making sure he comes out with the Usos every time. So much stuff you could do. But you just don't. You just say, okay, well, we have nothing for our main characters. So while our main characters are not doing anything, just focus on our extra supporting cast. Well, that's not working too well. It's fine to have a supporting cast. But the people tune into the soap opera to see the main characters. And then you make them wait a little bit and say, oh, we've seen a minute of them. We'll see them more later. Now there's side plots and things, right? You're not doing that, WWE. You've written them pretty much off the picture. And you're still trying to tell us, no, they're the big deal. Okay, well, show us they're the big deal. Don't like it. You had something good there. And you dropped the Sami Zayn thing. Where's Sami Zayn? Where's that whole thing with Sami Zayn saying, I'm an honorary Uso and everything? Where did that go? It's unbelievable. Todd, it's not enough to just have the Usos come out and fight Los Lotharios. There's got to be a reason where you say, well, Paul Heyman's out there, and, you know, there's a reason why they're fighting Los Lotharios. I know it's supposed to be for the contendership or something, but there's got to be some storyline. It can't just be trudge the Usos out without Paul Heyman, and then backstage or once in a while when they do an interview, have them say, oh, I love the Usos. Well, then why aren't you out there with them?
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about the Usos thing. You know, now for the last couple of weeks, they're just throwing, this past week, they just throw the Los Lotharios in just to put those two teams to get a few together, and no plot lines or no things like that. They're just like, oh, you're going to fight this team just for whatever.
Could we not have something? And why'd you drop Sami Zayn? Yeah, I was waiting because I thought a good writer is going to have Paul Heyman say, hey, Sammy, I thought you said you were winning Money in the Bank. I thought you said you were going to represent the bloodline. I thought you said you were going to get that briefcase and not do anything with it so Roman did not have to worry about any kind of sneak attack. Come his match with Brock Lesnar, and you failed. You failed. And I thought that would lead to Paul Heyman say, well, you're not a member of the bloodline, honorary member or not. You're not family. To which Sami Zayn could say, and you are? Are you Samoan? Are you, just wait, because when your usefulness is done, they're going to do the same thing to you. They're going to throw you under the bus, Paul. I really thought there was going to be some soap opera-ish elements to how this was going to play out. Now, it just looks like they stopped it, Mike, and just said, who cares?
Right, and furthermore, you know who's in the, you know who's down there in NXT right now? Jay, the Uso's younger brother, right? Right?
Yep.
And so this would be a great time to kind of bring him. I know he hadn't held the championship yet, or any championship down in there yet. But again, this would be a great time to add somebody to that storyline to freshen it up a little bit.
I agree, 100%. Now let's get to this Gunther thing, because a lot of people said, "Well, that was a good move," and what they did with Gunther and Shinsuke Nakamura, and I do think it's a good move, but the next move is what worries me. I think it was a good move to have Gunther say anybody, any champion who would defend his belt against a contender he doesn't even know and let anybody walk out here is not a smart champion, is not a good champion. That's good. Having Shinsuke Nakamura come out and challenge Kaiser, good. Having Kaiser lose and Gunther get mad at him, good. But here's what we don't want. I had so many fans write to me and say, you think they're going to turn Kaiser on Gunther? They better not. They better not. And you better make it clear. So next week, what you should do, if you're smart, is you should have Kaiser come out there and say, as if he's going to acknowledge the fans, I had so many fans write to me and tell me how sorry they felt for me after my match because Gunther administered those chops or whatever. Then he should turn on him like a rattlesnake and say, I do not need your sympathy. This is my learning lesson. This is why you are weak and I'm strong. Because when I fail, I deserve the punishment I get. When Americans fail, you want to be coddled and sympathized with and told it's going to be okay. And it's not okay to fail. Because then he'll be hated. And people will say, okay, that's interesting. And on top of that, he should do something to Shinsuke Nakamura to show I'm not failing the second time. Shinsuke Nakamura should, I guess he's going to have this match for the Intercontinental Championship, should not lose cleanly to Gunther. He should lose because of Kaiser, so Kaiser can say, I redeemed myself in my, you know, the eyes of Gunther. That makes them very dangerous. I don't want there to be a muddled water where Kaiser's like, I think I'm being abused by you. I don't like that. No. Have Kaiser say, no uncertain circumstances, I deserve that. This is the way you learn from your errors. This is what happens when you do not succeed. We do not accept failure. Failure comes with punishment where we come from. Where you come from in America, failure comes with sympathy and tears and people patting you on the back. We need none of that. That's why you're weak and we're strong. That's what he needs to say. Otherwise, that part's for nothing. We don't need to feel any sympathy for Kaiser, so that was dumb if that's what we're supposed to do. So you do have a chance, WWE, to make this really good and solidify these two as they are hardcore, flat-out, anti-American. We do things a different way and we're superior. You're already getting the USA chance. So you're getting some of it done. Don't make a mistake with Kaiser. I'm telling you, keep it exactly the way it is, except for what I said. Make him double down on him deserving it, and that it's a lesson for him to never fail again. Because he always has the backup excuse of, well, I didn't know I was going to be in a match. I didn't prepare for Shinsuke Nakamura. So that's what I think they should do, Mike. And if they don't, if they try to make Kaiser Virgil, where he's always been being abused by the Million Dollar Man, or in this case, Gunther, you're making a huge mistake.
Yeah, you're making a huge mistake, you know. And so there's still another branch on that tree, though, because Kaiser's ex-partner, who's now gone nowhere with his new gimmick in NXT, you know, I've seen a little bit, and I've seen a new gimmick that he's doing, and it doesn't impress me much. Fabian Aichner. They need to change him back to being Fabian Aichner, and at some point put the band back together, you know, put the three of them back together again, right?
Yeah, I think they might. I think that could potentially happen. But my fear is that they're going to try to make Kaiser a sympathetic character of, oh, I'm always being abused by my, you know, boss. We don't need that. WWE, I'm telling you, double down on this and have Kaiser say, this is what you get when you fail. This is what more Americans need. Less coddling, less crying, less sympathy, and more punishment for your failures. And then you won't fail as much. I'd love to hear that. Love to hear that. I think they got something good with Gunther, Todd. I just think they got to be very careful and play it right, or they could blow it.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about this Gunther thing. I would not have him be like a million-dollar man, abusing Virgil and all that crap. He should be like Gunther. Be like arrogant, like a prick towards us American fans, and you have something.
Absolutely. We'll see if the WWE will do that. Now, I do want to say one thing. Roman Reigns does his job very well when he's there, and they give him something to do. I really did enjoy Roman Reigns looking at Theory almost like, well, who the hell is that with a briefcase? He literally turned to Paul like, that's who? And he's got the Money in the Bank briefcase as if he doesn't even know who he is. This is all a part of the plan, I'm telling you. This is all a part of Theory's evolution to being a top, top, top guy. And that's good. That part of it's good. You need more of that, though. You need a whole lot more of that. And I know Roman doesn't want to show up, but you can't tell me that as long as he's there, you can't tape four or five things ahead of time. Just go ahead and tape it. Fans aren't going to know one way or the other if he's backstage. They'll think he's back there. You can even acknowledge it and say, well, I'm not coming out with you guys tonight. You're on your own. That's fine. Whatever has to happen, you got to keep them in the show. You got to keep your stars in the show. You don't turn in to watch Arrow and there's no Arrow. Okay? That's just the way it goes. You don't turn in to watch The Flash and there's no Flash. So that's Roman Reigns' show. Like it or lump it. And you can be a great supporting cast, but he's the star. And he's the one that everything is centrally focused on. He's not Brock Lesnar. See, that's the thing. Brock Lesnar brought a whole different vibe to it. Brock Lesnar was the guy who was like, I'm the champion, but I'm not really, I'm not involved in this pro wrestling. It's almost above me. I came in and took that belt, and I'll defend it when I want. And you had big stars. And Brock Lesnar wasn't even really the star. It was almost like Brock Lesnar was the guest star when he was the champion. Roman Reigns is not the guest star. Roman Reigns is the star. And the star has to be on the show. Simple as that. Simple as that. Now, aside from that, there's not much to really recommend. Liv Morgan came out. I know she's popular. She's wonderful. The fans love her. She did another friggin' yeah interview that I just makes my head ache. I don't know, man. Ronda Rousey came out and challenged her, and I can imagine in my wildest dreams that how they're going to get this Liv Morgan over Ronda Rousey. I don't know how they're going to do it. I imagine it's going to be a three-way dance by then so that something else happens. I don't know. But I do know the fans like her, so, I mean, I can't argue with it. But at the same token, I don't see good matches out of her. I just don't. And this was a bad SmackDown. Bad SmackDown. And it's a shame. Absolute shame, because you're not using even your supporting cast the right way. That's the problem. And you're starting to get to the point where SmackDown doesn't really have much of a supporting cast. Just a bunch of extras. Because, I mean, does anybody believe Shinsuke Nakamura has a chance to beat Gunther? No. Okay, so we know it's cannon fodder. So are we supposed to buy into this? Are we supposed to be like, it's going to be great? Well, it could be great if you had treated Shinsuke Nakamura the right way. Shinsuke Nakamura, the moment you found out Rick Boogs was going to be out for a while with that horrific injury, you should have said, okay, Shinsuke, new plan. We're not teaming you with Riddle for a little while. We're not doing any of that bullshit. We're putting you on a win streak, the likes of which you've never seen, because we got Gunther scheduled to win the Intercontinental belt. And we need contenders. So we're going to really start pushing you as this is the old Shinsuke Nakamura. I mean, he got involved in the tag team stuff, and he was good, but we always knew he had more potential than this. And this is as good as I've seen Shinsuke Nakamura ever look, even in his legendary years in Japan. Let him take some major people out. That way, when he comes face-to-face with Gunther, fans will say, I don't know, they've been pushing Shinsuke. Maybe they are going to let him win. I mean, they've been pushing him as a big deal. You haven't been pushing Shinsuke as a big deal, so we know he's not going to win. Your job is to make us think that it is very possible that he could win, and you just didn't do it because there's no forethought. You're like, who we got back there? Shinsuke, yeah, you're going to be the next guy to get dusted by Gunther. Just go out there. We don't need that. Name me the next contender. Who's Gunther's contender? I don't see one. I don't see one. From what I see, I guess you might be setting him up to do the Clash of Champions thing with Bobby Lashley, which would be, that would be good. Because you're not sure what's going to happen. But we should right now be believing, oh, man, Shinsuke Nakamura has been on a tear, and they've been giving him a lot of airtime and major victories. you don't think they'd put that belt on them. They might. You know, at least give us that, Mike. They didn't do it at all, and so we don't think this match is a big deal at all.
Right. I mean, we may have our problems with AEW and how they do things and that, but with their titles, you know that at some point Jade Cargill is going to go, because she hadn't lost. You know, at some point she's going to go after the women's world title over there, right? You know, at some point, you know who the hierarchy for the world title is over there. Yeah, you know, yeah, you got an interim belt. The interim title is with Moxley, but he really doesn't need it, and you know, at some point he's going to lose it to somebody, you know. Jericho doesn't need him, but you know, at some point they're going to probably put it back around Jericho's waist. So you know, there's a hierarchy. That's another problem. They don't have a hierarchy for even in the WWE. They don't have a hierarchy even for the secondary titles. Anybody can come up at any given time and say, "Oh, I'm now the contender for the Intercontinental belt. Oh, I'm now the contender for the U.S. belt." That needs to change.
I agree 100%. But it doesn't look like it's going to. I mean, I'm literally no longer convinced that the WWE necessarily cares about things like that. I'm looking at the SmackDown roster right now, and I'm saying, okay, let's just go in order. Angel Garza, he's not winning anything. Butch, Drew Gulick. The only person I can imagine that you could possibly put with Gunther that people would say might win is Drew McIntyre, and he's involved in a totally different feud. Because there isn't anybody else. I'm looking at the roster right now, and I don't see one person, not one. Not one other than Drew McIntyre that you could convince me might potentially beat Gunther. Not one. No wonder they picked Shinsuke Nakamura. Let me run down the roster in alphabetical order, and you tell me. Adam Pearce, Aaliyah, Angel Garza, Big E's out. Brock Lesnar's not going to be doing it. Butch, Charlotte Flair, Drew Gulick, Drew McIntyre, Eric of the Viking Raiders, Happy Corbin, Humberto, Ivar of the Viking Raiders, The Usos, Jinder Mahal, Kofi Kingston, Mace, and you can forget that, obviously. Madcap Moss, that's not going to happen. Mansoor, that's not going to happen. Rick Boogs is out. Ricochet's the one he lost it to, so that's not going to happen. Sami Zayn, that's not going to happen. Shanky, that's not going to happen. Sheamus, that's not going to happen. Xavier Woods, that's not going to happen. Sheamus, that's it. That's it. Who's your number one contender? Who's your contender for Gunther's belt if, let's say, him and Drew McIntyre are the ones they're going to the push for? Let's say McIntyre doesn't win. Who's next? There isn't anybody. You've just given the reason why it has to be Shinsuke Nakamura, because there's not another person on this roster. Not one. Terrible. Speaking of terrible, the Max Dupri thing is it's beyond terrible now. And the reason it's beyond terrible is it's wasting Eli Drake. He can't be funny. He can't be inventive. He can't be witty. He can't be glib. He is stuck in a character that's just dumb. And even he cannot make this character charismatic or fun to watch. So you've wasted a guy. This would literally be like, and I'm not comparing him because Roddy Piper's way better than Eli Drake, but it would be like if you gave Roddy Piper this role. Why would you do that when he has so much to offer just shooting from the hip? Why would you give him a role where you force him to not do anything that's to his strength? That's what you've done with Eli Drake. You've given him a role and said, okay, you can't do any of the things. that make you special and make you fun to watch, but we expect you to get this character over. It's not going to happen. And then please, somebody please tell me why you would have male models come out on SmackDown and not wrestle. At least if they're going to come to the ring dressed in these clothes, it would be a great gimmick if you said, well, they're going to wrestle in them. Or they're going to take them off and have the wrestling gear underneath it. In other words, they walk down and say, here's our tennis collection. And then the guy wrestles. Here's our tie collection, and then the guy wrestles. Here's our sportswear collection, and then the guy wrestles. Not just walks down the aisle and comes back. Why would a male modeling agency want to hold a fashion show in the middle of a wrestling card? It doesn't even make any sense. It doesn't even make any sense. So he's basically saying they're not wrestlers. They're models. So why you want a wrestling show? At least say, no, these are wrestlers. These are serious wrestlers. And I'm going to take them to the top. But I want to show the world they are also professional male models. And at the same time as I'm taking them to the top of the WWE, I'm also taking you guys to the height of fashion and showing you what real men are supposed to look like this day and age. At least do that. You're not doing that. You're just saying, oh, these are male models. They're not fighters. Well, then why are they there? Mike, it's beyond horrible. I don't know who thought of this idea, but it's poorly conceived. It's poorly executed. It's not doing anything for anyone. As a matter of fact, I think it's handcuffing Eli Drake, and this needs to end and end quickly.
Yeah, it needs to end and quickly. And frankly, you know, if they were treating it like they treated Rick Martel when he was doing his whole model thing, Rick the Model Martel. Hell, they even came out with that spray can that was supposedly cologne or something,
right,
that they ended up using as a gimmick to spray people in the face with, right? You know, they were creative back then. They were creative back then, and that's the thing, you know?
Absolutely. If you were going to do this the right way, then you should have Max Dupree introduce his men to wrestle and say, coming to the ring, his opponent, he'll be wearing our such-and-such fashion collection. Do that whole bit of what he's wearing, and then say, now, I want you, as he's walking down this aisle, to compare the class and the poise to this idiot that's in the ring, who looks like he came from whatever town they happen to be in, poorest district. This is the difference between men of class and dignity and good taste and some schlub. Let him do his shtick. Let him insult the guy in the ring. Let him run down the guy that's in the ring that's going to be his opponent. And then let these guys come in and beat him. Then there's a reason why you're talking about their ensemble. There's a reason why you're introducing them and they're acting like they're on the runway of a modeling gig. Right now, there's no reason. It doesn't make sense. And it's such a waste of Eli Drake because you're just not allowing him to be funny or witty or anything, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right, yeah. Like you said, this whole thing was Max Dupree, whatever you call it, want him to pronounce the name the way he wants us to pronounce it. You know, like you said, it's just garbage right now. They're not letting him do what he did, like in Impact Wrestling or NXT. He's being handcuffed.
It's just terrible. Because he's got to be so straight about it. And he's got to play it not for laughs or not for... There's no heat. Where's the heat? The heat is, this is a horrible segment. And we think it's dumb and that's supposed to be heat. That's not heat. Heat is, I'm mad at the people. Not I'm mad at the segment. You'd be more mad at the people if Mansoor came down to this big introduction about what he's wearing and all that stuff while he's running down his opponent in the ring, or Max Dupree is running down his opponent in the ring, saying compare the two. What you should have done was have some jobbers. Some jobbers. Like you did for Gunther and stuff for a while. Where you just say, here's local talent. Now, here's a typical guy from Wisconsin. Look at this guy. Look at his outfit. Look at his physique. Look at his posture. This is your typical Wisconsin Ike. Now look at Mansoor. Then he beats them, you know, and they say, yeah, well, of course he beat them. He's superior in every way. But that's what you get in this state. And then you just keep doing it until finally they start to move up to some better competition. And you'd get some heat probably from doing that. You're not going to get heat from just having a horrible segment that nobody cares about, Mike, because they're not booing the people. They're booing the segment.
Right, and think about this. What was he doing in NXT? I mean, you know, he gets there, and they straight away they put him with what's his name from former TNA guy that was doing the whole Nouveau Rich thing, and of course the Million Dollar Man. Well,
yep.
You got some priceless segments out of those three guys, because not only could he still go, but I mean, even at his age, Ted DiBiase, you put a mic in his hand and he's still very good, right? And the third guy in that whole situation is very good as well, you know?
Yep.
So,
yep.
It's like, you know, I'd it'd be treading well-worn territory, but I would almost rather see them bring that back, you know? And really, they really didn't complete that thing, because those two got the completion of that whole situation would be getting those two guys to getting LA Knight and the other guy together as a tag team and having them go after the tag team championships, you know. That would have been the completion of that whole situation. Of course, with a Million Dollar Man as their manager, but yeah, that would have been the completion of that situation. And I mean, again,
There's no way this is going to work, Mike, because it would be like saying, well, we're going to bring CM Punk in and his gimmick is he's a mute. So he doesn't get to use the microphone. Well, then why in the hell are you bringing him back when you know that's his strength? Eli Drake's strength is to just wing it and be annoying and funny and do his shtick. He's not doing any of this. He's not funny. He's not witty. He's not even annoying. He's just, it's like go away heat. And that's a shame, because Eli Drake is very good on the mic and he's not given any opportunity. Now, I could see you're putting Mansoor and Mace with them, because then maybe they're not good on the mic. So maybe it's better for Eli Drake to talk for them. But then don't talk like you're the designer. This is my design. No, don't do that. Just say, no, this is a modeling agency. I'm their agent. I don't design their clothing. I'm their agent. I'm the person who negotiates the deal for them to wear other designers' clothing. So you're a big mouth agent. You're not a fashion designer. So why are you talking like a fashion designer? Why are you saying, here is this? That's what the fashion designer does. The agent says, how much money are you giving my client to wear your stuff? You know, he would be a really good agent if you just let him go and you said, hey, dude, do your Eli Drake crap, except you're supposed to be an agent for these models. And you got less class and less couth than anybody in the world. So it's so funny to hear you be a loudmouth, braggadocious, sort of New York-style agent, and you're supposed to be representing these very couth, very fashionable guys. You know what I mean? It would be a great contrast. Some loudmouth, obnoxious agent and these two supposedly couth and gentlemen, you know? That would be great. You're not doing that. You're not doing that at all. So Eli Drake is rendered completely useless in this. And if they're going to be a tag team, the very first time you introduced them, they should have came down as a tag team and whooped some local contenders' asses. If you didn't want to do the Eli Drake thing where he's talking about they're coming down wearing this, that, and the other thing, but don't have him talk like he's the designer. He should have less class than anyone in the building. So he should literally get in the ring and say, hey, all you morons, shut your mouth. I'm about to bring out some classy guys. Don't you know what class is, morons? You know, that kind of guy. And then all of a sudden, he's like, here they come. And they're just wonderfully classy. That would be funny. That would be interesting. I'm so unaware of myself that I don't realize I'm the least classy guy in the building. And I say the least classy things and act the least classy, and yet I'm supposed to be presenting class. That would be amusing, and it would open the door for Eli Drake to do a whole bunch of funny things. Nope, not doing it. So this is a boring, you know, it's a boring gimmick. It's not going anywhere. Not going to go anywhere. Oh, they're going to win some matches. Pretty soon they'll put them in the matches, and they'll win. It's not going anywhere, though. And it's a shame. So this whole SmackDown, start to finish, was really an exercise in futility, and then you had to add insult to injury and say, we're going to have Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus. The winner is going to be the number one contender for that Clash at the Castle. That's already been advertised, you idiot. We know it's Drew McIntyre. And then he didn't even give us the Sheamus match anyway. People who came to see the main event thinking, oh boy, the main event's going to be Sheamus and Drew. We know one thing about those two. When they get in the ring together, they're going to put on a good 15-minute hard-fought, stiff match that'll be really entertaining. I'd have bought a ticket for that. If they were local and they said, that's going to be the main event, I'd be like, this could be good. I like when those two guys wrestle. And then I get there, buy the goddamn ticket, and it doesn't even happen. Absolutely pitiful. One of the worst SmackDowns I've seen in a long time. I was bored through the whole thing. I was screaming at the TV screens, and I think they're doing nothing but mistakes constantly, screwing people up. Even the Roman Reigns segment didn't have the oomph it should have had, because you had to have Paul Heyman do his, I'm so worried because Brock Lesnar is so superior to you, even though you've beaten him twice routine. So that didn't even feel like it was realistic in any way, shape, or form. The whole thing was just, it was an exercise in futility. There was a minute or two with Gunther I thought was good. And that's the only thing that saves this from being an F. The only thing that saves it from being an F is I still think they got something with Gunther if they play it right. I don't like what they did too much this week because I think it gives sympathy to the wrong person. I hope they correct that. However, he still comes across as a heel and a good one, and he is getting the chance of USA and stuff blood in the arena. So that's a positive. So I'm going to give this a D, but I got news, Mike. It's a low D because it came very close to being an F.
And I've said this before, I do not like to compare what they did versus what AEW did, but you look at what happened just right after that show with AEW, and there's, I know it's two different types of product, but it's night and day. You know, if we were to I'd give this a D grade if I didn't have AEW to compare it against. I got to give it a D-minus grade because AEW this week on Rampage was very good, and it's light years ahead, even though it's not getting the ratings, it's light years ahead of what they put on just a couple of hours before this with a SmackDown.
Yeah, and we haven't even mentioned they're still doing the new Vicious Viking Raiders. That's actually their name now. That's actually their name, and that's not a description. Nobody said, well, this is like the brand new Vicious Viking Raiders. They've totally changed their attitude. No, that's actually part of their name now. Now entering the ring, the new Vicious Viking Raiders. That's just terrible. You can't get worse than that. That's cartoonishly terrible. And the New Day come out and say, oh, well, you know, we got these ass-kicking cards. We're going to kick your ass. And then they just get their ass kicked again by the Viking Raiders because, this week we're promoting the Viking Raiders. 3 weeks from now, they'll be losing to Los Lotharios, and they'll be like, oh, it's the old dumpy-ass Viking Raiders. I guess they'll change their name, too. It doesn't make any sense. Don't tell us what they are. Show us what they are. If you wanted to have a great big feud with the Viking Raiders and the New Day, you should have had the Viking Raiders come out like they were still palling around with the New Day and beat their ass raw. Get the microphone and say it themselves. We aren't the Viking Raiders you're used to anymore. There's no more friends. There's no more camaraderie. There's no more teammates. There's only violence and destruction. That's what we did wrong before. We're correcting it now, and there's nobody here that can stop us. Then we see it, okay. You can't have the announcers just say, we know they were jabrones last week, but this is the new vicious Viking Raider, so expect viciousness from them. Expect that the New Day suddenly is bumbling idiots who can't fight. I can't. I just can't. My head explodes with this stuff. Because they're not even trying now. But once again, we're back to you're not trying. You come off a good pay-per-view, and then we don't want to try anymore. You're heading for SummerSlam with garbage. Well, big deal. Brock Lesnar's going to fight Roman Reigns. Something's going to happen there, though. I'll tell you that. If anybody just says, oh, well, Roman Reigns is going to beat Brock Lesnar, and that's all there is to it, and then we're just moving on, it's not happening. Something's up. I don't know what's up. But something's up. Something's definitely up. Roman Reigns is less and less interested in wrestling. I don't think Brock Lesnar is going to win the title. Something's going to happen. I don't know whether they're separating those two belts again. I don't know what the hell's going to happen, but something's going to happen. So that's the only thing you can hang your hat on, but you can't even get much heat off Roman Reigns because he ain't there to get heat. Not there to get heat at all. Now, to Mike's point, if you were going to bring in Fabian Aichner and you brought them all in as Imperium and you really went on to this rampage of anti-American whatever, you tell me they couldn't butt heads with the bloodline? You're telling me that backstage at some point they don't bump into one another? And Imperium just laughing at them and say, oh, yes, you rule. Yeah. You're the rulers here, right. You know how quick the fans would have been like, oh, shit. We're going to see Gunther and the Imperium guys against the Usos and Roman Reigns. That's going to fucking rule. Of course everybody would have liked that. Won't do it, though, Mike. It's unbelievable.
They won't do it, and that's the thing. And the whole thing with the – when I saw the New Day come out with those ass-kicking cards, the first thing I thought was that's the next thing that is going to be able to be sold by the New Day. Because we know how good they are at selling things, right? You know, unicorn horns, pancakes, possibly ice creams at one point. You know, total different things, you know. And it's like, okay, if you were going to do that with them and have them carry those cars out there, the completion of that is having them actually kick the asses of the Viking Raiders, right?
Right. Why'd you bring the ass-kicking cards out and then you get your ass kicked? You know what this would be like? This would be like if tomorrow or on Raw or on Friday on SmackDown, they took a team, any team like that hasn't done so well. Let's say Los Lotharios next Friday. And they said, this is the new serious Los Lotharios. And all of a sudden we're supposed to accept that they'll win every time. What? This is the new meaner version of the New Day. I mean, come on. You can't come up with something better than that. That's something like a fourth grader would write or something. I can't believe that passed approval. It's okay. for you to tell one of the announcers, just mention this. This is like a new vicious Viking Raiders. We've never seen them like this. That's fine. But don't add it to their name. So instead of us doing the work to show you they're new and vicious, we're just going to say that because we don't want to do the work. So tomorrow we're going to say this is the new, much, much, much stronger Sami Zayn. This is the new, weaker Sheamus. This is the new, less violent Butch. I'm like, what? What are you doing? Terrible. I mean, just putridly terrible. This is the new, more serious Alexa Bliss. Maybe she'll add that to her title. Now the new serious Alexa Bliss. I mean, come on, folks. And then Lacey Evans turns heel. They don't know what the fuck they want to do with her. I'm so tired of this federation. It's making my head explode. First, she's a face, and you're telling all these stories about how wonderful she's overcome all these obstacles in her life, which are legitimate, and you would think would make her somewhat inspirational and heroic. Then you pull the, she wants everybody to stand up and give her the proper respect. Then you say, nah, that didn't work. Let's make her the face again and talk about how wonderful it was to be in the military and how she's dedicating her matches to everybody who served. Nah, that didn't work. Let's just make her a heel. You don't know what the hell to do with her. Why the hell did you bring her back? Who the hell is running this company? And a fan should be rightfully angry because you're being served crap. And they don't even think you're smart enough to know it. They're just like, feed them this and call it applesauce. Yeah, that really worked for Lacey Evans. She's going to be such a top heel now. You know what they decided? They decided in their infinite wisdom, well, I guess if you support the military and you're a mom and you've went through some trauma in your life, but you're still a strong, dedicated, patriotic woman, you must be a heel. Because you're not a crybaby snowflake. Oh, that worked out well. That's just going to work out splendid. And we'll do it just after the 4th of July, too. We'll really fuck them up. Awful. Mike, you can't get worse than that. You just can't. You know, having a little trouble with the phone lines. Hopefully that will get fixed. Let's see if we can go to Mike this time.
You're right. I'll put it to you this way, Marcus. They're doing their best to sabotage themselves. I mean, we made the comment before about, well, about selling the company, right? And it looks like they're trying to not get the highest price for a possible sale, right? I'm not saying they're trying to sell the company. What I'm saying is if you were going to sell a company like this, you would want to get the top highest price you possibly could for the company, right? And to do that, you would want to make the company look good at what the company's trying to put out there, right? So they're not doing that. They're doing the opposite of that.
Mike, they really are, and I know you might have missed the beginning of the show, but I said this whole thing with Vince McMahon and everything, something more is up. All these investigations, when there are a million wrestlers who did the same thing, there are a million rock stars who did the same thing, there are a million actors who did the same thing, something's up. Something is up. Because no one is this incompetent. No one is this self-destructive. Todd, the Lacey Evans thing just proved that they don't know from week to week what the blue hell they're doing with anybody.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about this whole Lacey Evans thing. They keep changing it, like, every week. If I was them, I was like, you know what? You're going to go back to doing the Seldom Bill gimmick.
You might as well. That was better than this. That was better than this. Because, again, they used a little bit of what I said when they said, well, my problems are so much bigger than your problems. I overcame my problems, and your problems pale in comparison to mine. Except that her problems were so severe, they do sort of pale in comparison to other people's problems. If you were going to do that, you should have made her problems minor, like I broke a nail, I couldn't find the hairspray I wanted, I couldn't find my outfit that I wanted, I couldn't find the protein powder that I normally use. And that's more important than all of your problems put together. No, they give her legit obstacles, legit things that make her inspirational, and say, but she's a bad guy. Oh, my God. You just can't make this up. You just cannot. It literally boggles the imagination how horribly inept the creative in WWE is. Horribly inept. Horrible. I'd have rather seen Lacey Evans come out and confront Gunther and have him say women should shut up and get the hell out of the ring. Personally, I'm not going to let you run down the United States of America. I defended the United States of America. That's your fault, honey. Get the hell out of the ring while the men are talking. Then at least you'd say, well, Lacey Evans just stood up for America. At least you can't fight Gunther. But the people would be like, oh, well, good for her. At least she came in there and, you know, let him have it. No, she's got to be real. She's got to be the bad guy. Because, of course, Aaliyah's going to go over so well. I can't. There's no way. It's almost unwatchable. I don't blame wrestling fans for saying I can't. Because I'm telling you, if I didn't report on this, I don't know if I could. Because it's more aggravating than it is fun. Just awful. Let's hope Monday night is better. We'll see you on Tuesday.
Fastball and a high drive in the deep left center field. It's away.
How did you get
it? High drive in the deep left.
That was for Keith Hernandez, by the way, if you're a Mets fan.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.